welcome to Grace Unscripted, where we share stories of people in and around Grace Church without any script, just real, raw conversations about life change through Jesus. I'm your host, Audrey Wallace. Today, our guest is Delaney Dobbins, and I've been really excited to talk with her because I've heard pieces of her story through others, and you'll hear about that in the conversation. But hearing what she shared, some words stood out to me that she was always so curious and she had this natural desire. She was really just always searching for God, even though it wasn't naturally put in her path. And now, as we look at kind of the full circleness of her life, and I'm not going to give any spoilers, but the things that she's working on now that are even helping her goals to help people who are searching and who are going through the hard things that she went through her own story. Hi, Delaney.
Hi.
I'm so happy to be sitting here with you.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
For our listeners, we're actually in a new recording studio today, so if our voices sound smoother than ever, that's why. So it's just a beautiful setting, and I'm just excited to be sitting here and chatting with you. I want to get to know you. Our listeners want to get to know you, and I just kind of feel like people have been talking, like Delaney's got a story to share, so looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah, excited.
Starting with where you began, where'd you grow up?
So I grew up in Norton with my parents and then my three siblings. So I have an older brother, an older sister, and then a younger sister. So I'm the middle.
Yes.
That's always fun. And didn't grow up in church. My parents grew up Pentecostal. Mm-hmm. And so my grandparents always went to a Pentecostal church. Mm-hmm. So I would just kind of tag along whenever I wanted to, or I don't know. I always had that desire to go to church.
Okay.
But wasn't like taught anything like about the Bible or mm-hmm. just anything like that. So I think I was always intrigued. Mm-hmm. And so I would just be like, hey, can I come to church with you, Grandma?
With your grandparents?
My grandparents, okay. And then like my aunt mm-hmm. and my cousin. It was like always like asking one of them if mm-hmm. I could tag along. Just because I really like enjoyed the environment mm-hmm. and I liked learning about it because it was something that I was, like, around a little bit, but it always felt, like, new to me. Mm-hmm. And so I think I was just always, like, excited to know more.
About what?
I think about just, like, what being a Christian is actually like. Because okay. I always heard it, and I always, like, saw people go to church. But I was like, okay, what does it mean to, like, follow this Jesus guy? And, mm-hmm. like, what does it mean to, like, be a part of the church? Mm-hmm. And so I kind of took every opportunity to go to, like, Bible camps and Wednesday nights with my grandparents and mm-hmm. Sunday mornings, all of that. Definitely different than Grace.
Yeah.
Pentecostal vibes, but the people were really great. And so I think I just enjoyed the environment.
Did you have friends also that maybe like invited you to things or that were Christians that you chatted with about this kind of stuff or other outside of your grandparents? Was it kind of a void?
So I grew up in public school and all the people that I was friends with weren't Christ followers.
Okay.
And so I never had anybody else besides family be mm-hmm. like, hey, do you want to come to church with me? Mm-hmm. So it always just felt like, I don't know, I'll just tag along with them.
Just one compartment
yeah.
of many in your life
yeah.
that had that flavor yep. seasoning it. Okay.
yeah.
So. All right. So that was a curiosity. You're interested, mm-hmm. had minimal exposure.
Yes.
And then, yeah, how did that impact your childhood, your teenhood, your young adulthood? What did that look like?
Yeah. So I, as a kid, because I went so much, I was told that like, oh, you should get baptized. And like, mm-hmm. not going to lie, I didn't really know what that meant. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of like, oh, this is just the right thing to do. And mm-hmm. so I'm going to do it. So I got baptized when I was 10 or 11. I don't remember mm-hmm. exactly. In the Pentecostal church. And that definitely impacted me. It was definitely I don't think it was, like, that life-changing mm-hmm. thing. Like, I never had, like, the, oh, I accepted Jesus moment.
Doves didn't fly above your head when you came out of the water? No?
A little bit, but it was like, oh, I don't know what this actually means. Mm-hmm. So it didn't feel like it had that much of an impact.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely felt different. I just didn't know mm-hmm. what that different was.
Was there any kind of, like, discipleship or somebody then there to walk with you in that scenario, or it's just that happened and then you kept living life?
I think it was family, like being like, okay, like, yes, you're a follower of Jesus now, all of this. But I feel like there wasn't really like a, hey, this is what it means. Hey, this is like your next steps. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is so, I just think that they didn't feel like that was maybe necessary. I don't really know. But I didn't, like, have someone in the church that was, like, walking mm-hmm. with me. Just because, like, I was involved, but I wasn't involved. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of other kids were, like, their parents brought them. Yeah. And, so
was anything reinforced or not reinforced or opposed in at home? Because you said you didn't grow up in church with your family. Was there, like, were your siblings coming with you, too? Was anybody else curious?
So my parents, like, would go back to the Pentecostal church every Christmas, Easter, stuff like that. And so, like, my sisters would come sometimes, but I don't think that they were as immersed in it as I was. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think they had, like, a genuine, like, wanting mm-hmm. to, like, go. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was interesting to me of, like, oh, like, I don't know why I'm so curious, but, like, they're not mm-hmm. as curious, like, what's the difference in that? Like, mm-hmm. why am I more interested than they are kind of thing?
Yeah. What's under that? Have you ever, like, thought about that?
I thought about it a little bit of, like, I feel like the Lord, like, because I don't know. I feel like because I was so interested as a kid, I always felt, I don't know, like, different from my siblings. Like,
set
I felt
apart,
like,
in a way, yeah.
Yeah, set yeah. apart. That's what I was looking for. But I think that kind of carried with me to, like, adulthood of, like, now it's still kind of the same thing of I feel set apart in that way. So, yeah, they would come sometimes, but they weren't, like, mm-hmm. as interested as mm-hmm. I was, I guess.
That draw, that desire. Yeah. You use the word desire. That's a good word. Yeah. Cool. Okay, so you're just kind of, like, desiring it, pulled toward it, drawn, magnetized, mm-hmm. and you get baptized. There's not a lot of reinforcement, but you're still maybe learning and such and
yeah.
going through school. So you're, like, about to hit teenage stuff yeah. and everything.
Yeah. So I think going into teenage years, too, I still, like, went to the Pentecostal church whenever I could.
Can we pause for a second? I have yeah. to ask a dumb question.
No.
And I'm just going to pretend you're telling it for the listeners, not for me at all. But Pentecostal.
Yes.
Give me a little flavor of what Pentecostal's like. As compared, maybe not as compared to Grace Church so much, because we might have listeners that don't even know Grace. But
yeah,
just talk to me about that.
It was definitely interesting. I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It was, you walk in and, like, the expectation was to, like, wear dresses or skirts to your knees mm-hmm. and, like, not cut your hair and, like, all that kind of stuff. So that was, I think, a little hard for me because, like, my parents didn't reinforce that. Like, mm-hmm. 'cause they grew up in it, but they didn't reinforce it. Yeah. So I was like, oh, like, I don't know what this is like. But the worship is, like, it is so fun. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think coming to Grace, I think I definitely enjoy, like, the – just, like, the – like, still moments with God and, like, worship here. Because there it's, like, they're, like, hype. They're, like, up and running. They're, like, you know, speaking in tongues mm-hmm. or all of these things. So the music is definitely more, like, hyped up.
More hyped than Grace?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, dance section? Is this with flags and stuff? Do they have flags sometimes?
No, they okay. don't have flags. But I've they, like, that. They're everyone's just, like, yeah, moving and like grooving and like it, feeling it,
expressing
like
expressing what they're feeling. I do yes. feel like there's some you know, Grace. So I look around, I'm like, everybody here could be persuaded to probably dance if somebody yeah. went first. Like, everybody's kind of like shaking a little hip, tapping a little toe, yeah. like very subtle, hands a little low. It's like, come on, let's get it moving.
I know, and I think because I like grew up like going there, sometimes at Grace, I'm like, wow, I just kind of want to dance, but I feel like I shouldn't because that might be weird in this mm-hmm. environment.
All right, let's start like one service, one area. We just kind of set it aside and we say, this is the dance section. And
yeah.
we start it. I think yeah. we could get a following.
I would
that.
Love that. I'll do it. No shame.
Okay, cool. So Pentecostal energy, flow,
yes.
Holy Spirit alive.
Yes.
And everybody expresses themselves on the outside, what's going on the inside.
Yep.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Keep going. Thank you.
And so I think that was I think that was interesting to grow up in and then come here. But still was going to the Pentecostal church. Kind of like once I started to hit my teenage years, it was like every once in a while. Because I just got so caught up in like school and hanging out with friends and all of these things. And so I was like, oh, I'll go next week and then next week and then next week. So it was really like a once a month thing, like once I hit my teenage years. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't really like growing much deeper in a relationship with God. Like I just feel like that's the difference between like now and then is like now I have like people walking beside me, but mm-hmm. I didn't really have that then. So there was no like, support in that area of like, oh, I have this person who's going to hold me accountable in this. So I think that's why I just wasn't going as much. But then high school hit, and I started dating this guy.
Oh, as many tales begin.
For a couple years. And his family were Christ followers, and so I definitely, like, got more intrigued through that. But they went to chapel in Wadsworth, which I enjoyed. Like, that was good. It was non-denominational, and so I was getting into something else besides Pentecostal. Yeah,
was that a weird jump for you when you started going? Because they had, like, an orchestra, didn't they?
A little, yeah, sometimes.
Like, there'd be, like, stringed instruments. So very different than a conductor.
It was very different. But during this time, I started to come to grace, like, in ebbs and flows because my Aunt Wendy and Uncle Adam have been going here a long time. And so when there would be, like, Christmas things or something, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll go. And so, yeah, dating this guy, they went there. And then the relationship kind of, like, took a turn, if you want to say. There was just a lot of hard things in that relationship, a lot of sinful things happening. And so I think that kind of confused me a little bit because they were such, like, dedicated Christ followers, grew up in church, like, all of that. And they definitely, like, encouraged me to, like, read my Bible and go to church and stuff like that. So I feel like I got in the rhythm of doing that with them. But I think, like, a lot of stuff that was happening in the relationship and, like, the family was just very unhealthy and very toxic, I guess you could say. And so I think that just confused me a lot because I was like, oh, I have these people that I'm really close with who I love. That are dedicated Christ followers, but also I'm being treated this way, and these things are happening, and, like, I always had these standards for myself, and now they're broke, and all of that. And I was also very unhealthy during this time because a lot of things felt like they were repeated from my childhood. And so I feel like that dysfunction and that unhealth was just, I think, concerning for me, but also, like, comfortable because that's all I was used to.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, you think about things we've learned here, any book that you read where they talk about that, where you know what you know, so therefore that breeds what you do, and then that's what you continue to know. And you were young.
Very young. So it was, like, freshman year, sophomore year. So this was, I think this relationship actually helped me so much. Because I think in it was so, like, honestly, feels like it felt debilitating sometimes of, like, I can never do anything right, or I'm always being compared to, like, this person, and I'm always, like, not good enough. And I feel like that was just, like, a repetition of, like, what my childhood was like, because my family was also that way. And so it felt like I went from, like, abusive to, like, forms of abusive as well. And so I think that was hard for me, but because I was so comfortable, I stayed in it for so long. And so I think I was, like, drawing near to the Lord, but I was also, like, holding back because I was confused. Yeah, it's like I wanted to go all in, but I was confused, so that's what was, like, holding me back. So I think that was just, like, a really hard season of my life. So,
wow, okay. So that was, like, you're talking early high school. Did that break up and you blossomed into something new at the end of high school? Did it break up and you went into a pit, or did you stay together? Like, how did you break out of that toxic scenario?
So we were dating for a couple years, and so kind of, like, going back to, like, my childhood, like, a lot of abuse, a lot of stuff happening, and so I think experiencing that, some form of that in, like, this relationship always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And so after a couple years, you could just, like, you know how, like, you can just start to feel like it's ending, it's almost done the times. I was just starting to, like, feel that. And I knew that this relationship wasn't good for me. Like, I knew it wasn't good for me. His family was really great, like, took care of me and stuff, but there was also, like, abusive tendencies there. And so that confused me because it's like, oh, you say you love me and you want to, like, be there for me, but then you treat me this way.
And it sounds like you didn't have maybe your homestead family paying attention or protecting or being mindful and watchful for you to help you steer you away.
Okay. So I think that was rough for me because I think I always just wanted that and craved that. And also because I wasn't really close with like my parents. I was always searching to find that in someone else's parents. So whether it was friends or boyfriend or whatever, I was always just like, man, I want to like find that in another person's parents. And so growing up, I had a lot of great friends that I found like their parents were so great. And like, they felt like parents to me. And then his parents were too, for sure. But I think during that time of it ending, it just was like downhill. Like a lot of horrible things were said. A lot of the word that keeps coming up is abusive because that's just felt like a repetition again of like what I had experienced when I was younger. And so that was just a rough season of my life, like when that was starting to end, because it was like I knew it was the right thing to end it. And so that's what I did. But then because I clinged so hard to like their family, like that person, like I didn't really spend any time with my family. I never really saw them. I just prioritized them and only them. I lost like all of my friends. So I was just like, when that was ending, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I know I have a lot of great family to support and encourage me, but like, because I've been so close to them for so long, and found like comfort in them a little bit, I guess, even though a lot of things were happening. And then we broke up August, like 2 years ago, almost exactly. So we like broke up, and then that week, my Aunt Wendy was like, okay, like I'm, you need to meet with someone. And her name is Deb Curtis. And so that's when I met with Deb Curtis that Thursday, like that week.
For anybody listening, Deb Curtis is just a pillar of Grace Church. She has an unscripted episode, so you can jump over to hers right after this if you want to learn more about her. But she's like family guru of Grace Church. Oh my gosh, she's mom of the century. She's raised great kids and just was so intentional as a mother and as a family unit. So what did Deb do?
Deb and I met at Starbucks, and I was just like, okay, my Aunt Wendy told me I should meet. Don't really know what I'm getting into, but I feel kind of desperate right now, so I'm going to go meet with her. And then I met Deb, and literally from the second I met her, it just felt like so natural to just like share my story with her, share my life with her. And I was like, wow, she's just like such a comforting person. And since then, Deb's been like solid, like a solid person in my life. I kind of just laid everything that was happening in that season out to her, and was just sharing like how hard of a time it was, all of that. And she was like, hey, so there's this thing called Collective, and I have two really great girls that you should meet that would love to get to know you and get you involved and all that. And
we already graduated from high school at this point?
Yes, already graduated. This was the fall after. So I was in nursing school. I was, you know, in a new season of life. And so I was like, you know what? Let's just do whatever. And so then she was like, oh, there's these two girls from Collective, Cindy Russell and Courtney Mock. And she was like, they, I think, would just love to get to know you and get you involved. And so I'm going to make you get involved pretty much. I'm going to make you go to Collective. And I'm going to, like, use them to, like, get you there. Because you, from what I'm hearing is, like, you need this. You need community. Because, like, even though I was part of the, like, going to the Pentecostal church, I was never, like, a part of like the youth group.
Oh, so this is like introduction to Grace. I'm just thinking back because you didn't say, oh, and then I started going to Grace. So Aunt Wendy, who works on staff and maybe even was just starting to work on staff 2 years ago or wasn't even quite yet. You met with her as your aunt.
Yep.
And she said, you need to meet Deb.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because my aunt was there when all of it was like the whole ending of the relationship was happening. So she was just like, we need to get you in the church, in a community, like, now. Because I was just, like, a wreck. And so I ended up going to Collective, just walked in there by myself. And I'd never done that before. But I think in this season of my life, I was just so desperate for, like, friends because I had lost all of mine. I was so desperate for community because I didn't have any. And so I was just like, you know what? We're just going to be bold and step out of my comfort zone. We're just going to do it. And so I walked in there, and the first person that I saw was Sydney. Mm-hmm. And she was waiting for me. And she was like, oh, my gosh, she must be Delaney, who Deb told me about all this. And the second that I met Sydney, I was like, okay, it's okay. Like, just mm-hmm. breathe. She's so nice. She's so cool. And then I met Courtney, who is the other girl that Deb told me about. And Courtney just was so great as well and, like, came and sat with me and, like, all of that. And so they just, like, started to introduce me to people throughout the night. And so I think, like, that was the first time I ever felt like, wow, like, maybe I want to be a part of this. Like,
yeah.
Because I was just, like, nervous. I was like, I've never been a part of a youth group. I don't know what being part of a young adult group is like. And so I was just like, okay, well, we'll just see how it goes. And after the night ended, I think Sydney and I talked for, like, till, like, 2:30 in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
I
always hear the stories of, like, collective people. I guess you could also just be there talking, but I also hear, you know, volleyball and basketball and, like, all kinds of ruckus going on till those late hours.
Yeah, it was a lot. And so at first I was, like, a little intimidated because I was like, oh, gosh, this is a lot of people. Because that's when it was still, like, Tuesdays, Thursday people now all combined into one. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like, wow, this is a lot.
And also just for anybody listening that doesn't know, Collective is our young adult ministry for ages 18 to 28-ish.
18 to like 29.
29-ish.
Yeah. So it was a little intimidating. But after like the message and talking to Sydney, I was like driving home and I was like, wow, like I kind of want to go there again. Mm. Like that kind of like intrigued me because I'm just like always full of like curiosity. I'm like, oh, like, let me find out more about that. Or let me. So I was just like, okay, we'll just do that again. And then I just continued to keep going consistently and started getting involved. Didn't really know like what my giftings were at the time. And so it was just like kind of just throw me in where you want me to serve, throw me in wherever. And so, just started getting involved, and that was fun. And I think because I had never really even served at, like, the Pentecostal church. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, wow, like, I've never done this before, but, like, this is so, like, fulfilling to, like, serve and, like, I don't know, just, like, love on people. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. This was just so great.
And alongside other people your age, yes. that, or maybe even older. I know that there are older folks that help as well.
Yeah.
But then you make community with those you serve with.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. Like unexpected maybe part of it too.
Oh, yeah. And so that was really great. And like I just started to gain like some of like my best friends like through Collective who I'm like still best friends with. And so that was just like weird for me because I was like, wow, like because of that relationship being so long and like losing all of my friends during that, I was like, wow, like I have friends again and I have people that I can like lean on. And like I was still in a season of like they don't really know much about me, but like I want to know more about them.
You could totally reinvent yourself at that point. You could have spoken with a British accent and told everybody you just moved here from London. You could have done
I know
anything.
That would have been a good idea. I should have done that.
But it almost feels like you were coming out of a cave that you had been in for a while.
Yeah.
And you like needed to readjust your eyes to the sun and the light of the sun and the warmth. Like I'm picturing you kind of like shielding your eyes a little as you came out and like, oh, what is even out here? I don't even remember what's out here. Yeah. And then there's like green pastures and spacious places and the warmth of the sun. And the joy of nature and friendship. And
yeah, that's how it felt. Like, it felt like I was, like, coming out of, like, such a dark place and was, like, I don't know, given a new, like, vision of, like, what life is actually, what life can be like. And so at this point, I wasn't, like, all in for Jesus, but I was, like, always been a, like, believer. And I was, like, oh, you know, like, we'll just see.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about churches and we've talked about people and relationships. We haven't necessarily talked about Jesus. Like, when did you like meet him?
So it was at, I would say like the women's retreat, like that following spring. So last spring.
Yeah.
My aunt was like, oh my gosh, she should come on the women's retreat. And like a lot of my friends were going and I was just like, oh, okay, like this should be fun. Because like, I think during Collective up to that point, I so desperately like wanted to know the heart of Jesus so bad, but didn't feel like he was speaking to me or didn't feel like I was being like pushed in any way. And so I was just like, you know, maybe this might be like a good weekend, you know, for me to just like experience a different kind of ministry as well, like women's ministry, all of that.
Up with us old ladies.
Yes. And I love it. I love intergenerational relationships. So I was just like, yes, mm-hmm. like let's do it. And so I went that weekend and I just like the Lord like really spoke to me that weekend. Like it was just a feeling like I can't even like describe. It was just like, I don't know. It just felt like the Holy Spirit literally flooded my entire body. Mm. And I like clearly heard the Lord's voice and it was like, I'm here. I'm here. Like, yeah. I see you. And it was just like, what's happening? I was like, what is this? And so I just like talked with like Cindy and some girls after, and I was just like, you know, I had like this feeling. I had such like the strong feeling, and they were like, "That's the Holy Spirit, girl. Mm. Like that's what it is."
And that was unique to you, like you hadn't necessarily felt at least to that strength before.
Yeah, because I think in the Pentecostal church, like it was like an overwhelming feeling of like, "Wow, like I'm praising Jesus," but like I never felt like the Holy Spirit in like a deep way, mm-hmm. to where I felt like the Lord was like speaking to me, right. like where I was like the only person in His line of vision. Yeah, He flooded the room
at Pentecostal, but He's like in flooding your body, yes. and yourself in this yes. space.
And that's how it felt. And I just like thought about it like the whole day. I was like, wow, like that was crazy. And then Saturday night came where they were doing baptisms mm-hmm. and all of that. And I think I always had this idea in my head of like, wow, I was baptized, but like getting rebaptized, like what does that mean? Because I had heard, I think it was you you and Jocelyn on stage, and you're like, oh, if you like have been baptized before but want to get rebaptized and like dedicate your life, I was like, oh, like that's an option, like that's a thing.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't know what it meant before, so it didn't feel like real to me, or like, I don't know, didn't feel like genuine and authentic to like
that your 10-year-old heart fully understood the heart of Jesus and His sacrifice and what that meant for you. You didn't know that at that point?
No, not really. I was just like, I know it, but I don't like believe it. And so that was like,
or even fully understand the depth.
Yeah,
like you could have believed with a childlike faith.
Yeah,
you were potentially, well, maybe not still believing in Santa Claus at that point, but like there's, you know, belief of a child is different than a belief of a woman that you gained in this time of maturity.
Yeah,
and then you're like putting the stamp on that.
Yeah,
in that new way.
Yeah, and so it was just interesting because I always just saw myself as like a believer, but not a follower. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, I think this was like the weekend that was like, wow, like mm-hmm. I want to go all in for Christ, because like I can't shake this feeling. Mm-hmm. Like I've never felt anything like this. And I just, I don't know. It was just a very amazing experience. And so.
And it was your Aunt Wendy that got to baptize
you, right? And so I just like started feeling so like emotional, because I was just like, when there was like the invite to come get baptized, I just like felt it, and I was like, man, I feel like I should get baptized right now, but I'm nervous. Like it was like a scared feeling. Mm. And so I was just talking to like Sydney and my friend Kenzie, and like they were both like crying with me, because I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I should get baptized right now. They were like, if you feel it, like do it. Mm-hmm. And so I went and found my Aunt Wendy, and I was just like sobbing, and I was like, can you baptize me? And then she was like, just immediately started bawling because she had talked about how she like prayed for me for so long, and and so I went up on stage and I got baptized, and like just like even like looking back at like pictures that like Sydney and Kenzie were taking of like my aunt praying with me before I was going to get baptized, and like us both just like sobbing and like remembering like that moment of like how special that is, because she's always been like a mom figure to me as well. And so it was just, I don't know, it was such it was such an amazing experience. And I was just glad that she was there to like do it. So that was exciting.
There's so many thoughts around all of that. One, the language that you talked about of like believing in God but following Jesus, or believing even in Jesus, but like to be a follower, like the difference there. I don't know. I feel like I'm still learning that language, that, you know, if you ask somebody like, do you believe in God? Like maybe I would have asked that question before, and that's not the right question. It's more so like, who is Jesus to you? And like, do you follow him? Yeah. If like, for example, if I had a friend who was dating somebody, I wouldn't say like, are they a Christian? I would say, is he sold out for Jesus, or you use the word all in, like, is like that's the test or the, you know, the degree that we want this relationship to be, not just like, opposed to other options, I believe in God, you know, there's like new language around that. And the other thought is around baptism. Jeff did a sermon during the Rooted series just this past winter. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this and you're confused or questioning or curious about what Delaney's saying with like rebaptism and what are the rules around this, and I just even recently there was a friend of mine who was baptized as a baby at the Catholic Church, and she was really wrestling with, should I do this again? And you know, her mom didn't know she should do it again and all that kind of stuff. So anyways, the sermon that Jeff did, if you want to look back on Grace Church's podcasts on baptism during Rooted, and he explained things like, if you didn't actually follow Jesus at that time of your baptism, maybe you did it because you were young and didn't really understand, that would be a reason to do it. And the reasons not to redo it, not just like everybody's jumping in the water, so I should too.
Yeah.
Like to kind of really weigh those things. And then also just the like deepening and the new level that you have available to you. It's not, you can't go to heaven if you're not baptized, and it's not like that's when you're saved. But there is an opportunity for a depth and a richness that can come from that. Did you experience anything like that after
your baptism? Definitely did. Like I, after like accepting to follow Jesus and like getting baptized, I was just like, I want to be as sold out for Jesus as I can possibly be. And I also think I had this like idea of like, oh, because I think before, like, I have to be, like, a perfect Christian. Like, if I'm really going to accept God, I have to be, like, perfect. Because I've always been, like, a perfectionism, always been super hard on myself and have high standards. And so I was like, well, I just need to be perfect. And so after, like, I accepted God and got baptized, it was like, I don't have to, like, live up to that standard anymore that I have set for myself. Like, I don't have to be perfect because I'm already following the most perfect.
Yeah.
And so I think that was, like, such, like, a freeing moment of, like, really, like, understanding that of, like, wow. Because, like, sometimes I still struggle with that of, like, oh, I need to do this perfect or whatnot. But it's, like, no. Like, now you have, like, the Holy Spirit inside of you to, like, help redirect you of, like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to be perfect.
There's so much freedom. Mm-hmm. Freedom is a good word there.
Yeah.
Freedom from from perfection. Freedom from guilt and shame, freedom from, like, and some people would say, like, well, I don't want all the rules that come along with following Jesus. Well, the rules actually are what create the freedom, and we can see that in so many things, like the rules that you give a toddler, then give them freedom to play because you've given them the security and safety to guide them, things like that. But, yeah, that's where that freedom lives.
Yeah, and so I also, like, after accepting Christ and everything, I was just very immersed in, like, counseling as well, which I think helped me, like, understand what following Jesus is like, just because, like, my counselor is, like, the most incredible woman. I love her so much, but she really helped to, like, show me, like, that I don't have to set that standard for myself, and so working through that and, like, working through, like, a lot of OCD stuff, because I always struggled with that, and just went, like, undiagnosed, like, my whole childhood, and so I think that's where, like, also that level of perfection comes from. And so I feel like counseling also just, like, really helped me deepen my relationship with the Lord because it was, like, going through every stage of my life, everything that was happening, and being like, hey, like, you can find healing and restoration in the Lord. Like, let's figure out how to do that together. And so I think just working through a lot of that, like, helped grow me closer to the Lord because it was, like, I never really thought about, like, where he was in all of those moments of, like, being abused and a lot of those moments of, like, being scared as a kid and being anxious and just all of those things. And so I think reflecting on a lot of that was, like, oh, wow, like, the Lord was in it. Like, he was there. And, like, I didn't see it then, but I see it now. And so I think, yeah, I think being saved and getting rebaptized just, like, it, like, took me off. It was, like, okay, I'm going all in. I'm doing all these things.
This is 2 years ago. How has life changed since those things? You were in nursing school.
Yes.
Is that something you continued on with, or did your life completely shift?
Completely
shifted. Okay, I'm not surprised. Keep going.
So now I'm going into my sophomore year at Grace College. Bought that call to ministry for months, probably like 8 months.
Yeah. Well, and right around the time of that women's retreat was the sermon that Jeff gave about, are you called into full-time ministry? You remember that?
Yeah. And that was the sermon that was like, wow, maybe like, because I was in nursing school to prove something to like my mom, because my mom's a nurse. Mm-hmm. And I always like wanted to prove something of like, oh, like I'm good enough if I do this. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, that was like my set goal. I was like, I'm going to do this so that like, be proud of me, like all of these things that I wrestled with. And so I think that's why it took me so long to be like, okay, like I feel this call into ministry, mm-hmm. but I don't know what that looks like. I was scared. And so I think that sermon was very much like the starting point of like, oh, like, let me think about this actually, mm-hmm. because I feel it, but I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Like my flesh is saying no. But the Holy Spirit's saying yes. Mm-hmm. And so I just battled with that for a little while, and I just had conversations with like some of my friends that were in Grace College, like figure out like what that looked like. And then literally, I think it was a couple weeks before like the semester like started, and I applied, and I was like, to Grace College. it was like way before, a couple weeks before, and so I was just like, okay. We're going to do this. And if I don't, if it's not what I'm called to, then I'll just go back to nursing school. And I think I had the expectation I was going to go back to nursing school because I was like, why would anyone like me be in ministry? And so, yeah, then I started going to Grace College. Absolutely love it. I wrestled for a while about like where I was supposed to be, because I was like, okay, I'm nursing school, but am I supposed to be somewhere else? Like really battling like where I was meant to be, what I was meant to do. And so Grace College, I think, just opened my eyes to a lot of that. And so I went into ministry, like, okay, I know I'm supposed to be in ministry, but like, what exactly mm-hmm. am I supposed to do? And so for months I was asking the Lord, and I was like, hey, like, can you just make this clear to me? Cause I'm such like a planner. Like, mm-hmm. I just like to know what to expect. I like to know what's happening. Like, mm-hmm. Years in advance.
With everything you've shared so far.
Yeah, and so I just was
so changing
like,
trajectories a couple weeks before the semester starts, not your MO, not your comfort zone.
No. So I was just like, because I was pretty far into nursing school. I was 2.5 years into it. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, oh, should I finish it out, all of that? But yeah, took a turn, started going to Grace College, love it. And then I was like, okay, like, what am I supposed to do, Lord? And it was like a couple months to where, like, he started to reveal it to me. Because for a while, it felt like I wasn't hearing anything about it. I was like, man, like, this is so discouraging. Like, I just want to know. Mm-hmm. Even though I have more than enough time, like, for the rest of college to figure that out. But I just wanted to know so bad. And so I think the Lord was teaching me patience mm-hmm. through those months, because it was just like, hey, like, you don't have to know what's going to happen. Like, mm-hmm. you'll find out when you find out, kind of thing.
I like to call that weight training, because it's grueling and it's a burden and you're sore and tired.
Yeah.
Because you're just weight training.
Yeah. And that's how I felt. I was like, man, like, can you just tell me already? Mm-hmm. And so I think he was really teaching me patience. And then once I started, like, back off a little bit, I had prayed, like, Lord, either, like, speak it to me or, like, use other people to, mm-hmm. like, to encourage me in that way and reveal it to me. And so a couple more months went by. And then this idea of counseling popped into my head. And I was like, man, like, I would really love to be a counselor and, like, be who, like, my counselor is for me. Oh, that's so good. Because I feel so passionate yes. about it. And I feel like I love to just, like, help people through like their problems and like point them back to Christ through it. And just like, yeah, I just love this psychology stuff, and I love to be like immersed in like mm-hmm. people's stories and all of that, help walk with people. And so during this time where a couple months went by, the Lord started to like literally use people to reveal it to me. I think in like 1 week there were like 9 people that were like, hey, you and I don't know if this is weird to say, but you would be a really great counselor.
Oh, I love that.
And so I was just like, oh, okay.
Interesting, like, you should say that.
Yeah, interesting that you say that. And so I kind of like thought about it for a while. And then I just like felt this really strong like pull to it. I was just like, wow, like when I like reflect on counseling and what it's been in my life, like I would love to be that for other people. Mm. And I would love to like I don't know, just be fully immersed in people and their stories, mm-hmm. and like really like intensely like walk with them through that, mm-hmm. And just like dissect everything that like has been happening
with
in their
Christ
life
at the center of it.
Yes. And so I feel very called to do counseling, and so that's my trajectory right now. Mm-hmm. So I don't know exactly what the Lord wants me to do in it, but I've definitely thought about like a rehab kind of deal. Mm. I don't know. I just feel pulled to that. Mm-hmm. But also it's like, oh, like maybe working with kids or teenagers, like who struggled so bad, like I did, with a lot of different things, and like walking with them through that. So definitely like faith-based counseling is, mm-hmm. The end goal. But just the aspect of it is, mm-hmm. what I'm still figuring out.
And you can do all of the above, girl. You've got plenty of time to be working.
That's
so
true.
Just get started wherever the Lord leads you, and you can do all of those things. You don't have to pick one. You just have to pick which one goes first.
Yeah. And I think I'm like getting a little taste of it a little bit, because I'm life group leader for like ninth grade girls now.
Oh, praise you. Thank you for your service.
Love them so much. I think it's like, oh, they're the best. I love them. But also like young adults, like being a leader in that and wanting to get more involved in like women's ministry kind mm-hmm. of stuff. So I'm getting a feel for a lot of different ages, a lot of different things, but I definitely love like the middle school, high school age right now. So I don't know. We'll see what the Lord, used me to do, but.
Yeah, he tends to take our stories, our broken pieces, and grind them up into dust and then turn them into something new that serves others.
Yeah.
And then our stories that are hard can become beautiful, even though it's hard to do that math in our own earthly minds. Like, God math can totally do that, where these terrible things we experienced become beautiful because somebody else needs our guidance through it. It's a perfect way to use your life and your story.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So that's where we are today. Up to date. Grace College. We've got, did they have a counseling specialty in their program?
They do not. I'm currently going for biblical studies, but
It feels like a second level anyways, no matter what. Like, I have a psychology degree, and I remember at the end that, like, by the way, you can't do anything with this unless you get at least a master's, most likely PhD. I was like, great, thanks.
Yeah, so my end goal is to go to grad school right after Grace College. So that's
when then you can start to specialize. And
yeah, so I'm really excited.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, Delaney, thank you for sharing all of that. And I remember being around within earshot of the, my niece just got baptized. I just got to baptize my niece. Aww. I have been praying for her. And I just always heard the story from the aunt's perspective of the, you know, the niece that she loved and prayed for so much and got to experience that with. And so I was really excited when I heard we get to talk about this and hear all the reasons that Wendy was so fired up that day. And you both were sobbing. And there was a lot of water, a lot of sobbing. Water coming from the eyes, water coming outside of the baptismal that day. There was water everywhere.
Yeah.
We were drenched.
Yeah.
It was all the right ways.
It was special because I think her and I are just so close. And, like, she's literally been there through, like, all of the hard things in my childhood, mm-hmm. all of the hard things with that relationship in my teenage years and, like, young adult years. And so, yeah, she's just been with me through it all and has been, like, a solid person amidst all of the things around me that I couldn't control, all the things that were happening.
Well, so. I think, okay, just kind of landing point here, then we think of she was being like Jesus in your life as best she could.
Yeah.
And that example for you to then take forward and do for others, just like your counselor did as well. Like, that's our goal, living, following Jesus, not just believing in God.
Yeah.
It's different. Well, I heard a rumor you are on the worship band for Collective. Is that right?
I am.
Oh my goodness. So amazing. Well, you know, we have an unscripted worship playlist. So I'm very curious to hear what song you would like to add to our Grace Unscripted, Unscripted Worship on Spotify. You can find us there.
So I think like my two favorite songs of all time, I'm going to give two.
Okay.
I love the song Seasons by Hillsong and Benjamin William Hastings.
Seasons? I don't know Seasons. That I know it.
It is like, it literally feels like that song represents my life.
Okay.
Just like different seasons of growth and like growing closer to Jesus. Like the lyrics are just beautiful. I love that song so much. And then the second one is A Forgiving God by SCU Worship, which we're actually seeing at Collective this week. So I'm excited about it.
But is this new or?
It's came out a little while ago, but it's newer for Collective.
Yeah.
So
A Forgiving God. Okay, tell me about that one. There's two new ones to me. This is wonderful.
Yeah, so Forgiving God is, I think, just really special to me because I think as a kid, I made so many mistakes and lived up to this level of perfection, or tried to at least. And I was always just like, man, I'm failing. Like, I'm failing God. I'm failing these people. And I'm involved in so many things that just aren't healthy. And so I always thought, like, oh, man, like, what if the Lord never forgives me? Mm. Like, what if, you know, all this and he
too
never.
Far gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the song, one of the, like, lyrics in the song, it says, he's been sitting on the porch waiting your arrival. You never left his heart. He's always thinking of you. He'll come running out to meet you, throw his arms around you. Mm-hmm. He's a forgiving God. And so I think,
son action going on there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that song, like both of those songs, just like speak to like my entire life. Like I feel like a lot of worship songs are like, wow, like in this season of my life, like this is good. But like those two songs just like my whole life is just like represented through those songs. And so,
awesome. Yeah. Well, we will add both of those to the worship playlist and everybody can tune in. I'm going to tune in because I've not heard them and I'm very excited to add something new to my own playlist. Any final, also I want to say that you shared some things like hard things that you went through in your teen years and that you are now helping teenage girls and freshmen and things like that. Maybe one of them is listening. Maybe one of their friends is listening or a family member. Delaney has offered that if anybody needs to reach out and chat with her, that she is willing and able. So we have an email address, unscripted@graceohio.org. If you email us, we can get you in touch with her or with anyone here at Grace or our own network of counseling, recommendations, all that kind of stuff. Because you're right. Those things help. And I remember a day when I like went into a counseling place with a baseball hat and sunglasses and my hood up because I was like, nobody can know I'm here. And that was 10 years ago. And now I'm like, I need to tell people I do this too so that they get the goodness out of it and make sure that it's something that is widely known, accepted, and has a lot of grace around. So glad that you're stepping into that direction. I can see that sure. And if anybody, again, wants to reach out to Delaney, they can reach out to us. We'll get you in touch.
Yeah, I love that.
Thanks for sharing your story.
Yes, thank you.